The latest design for the Seattle waterfront was presented this past Wednesday. The design includes tree-lined walkways, public plazas, and even a swimming pool barge. You can't help but wonder what the natives who lived along this shoreline for thousands of years would think of a floating swimming pool. The evolution of Seattle's waterfront goes back about 160 years ago when early settlers arrived. Reporter Felix Bunnell took a look at the history of Seattle's changing waterfront and has this story.
Historians point to the early months of 1852 as the time that downtown Seattle was founded. One Sunday in late winter of that year, members of the Denny Party paddled across Elliott Bay. They were a group of settlers who'd arrived from Illinois a few months earlier. They climbed from their boats onto the rocky beach and staked their claims along a native shoreline that had changed little over thousands of years. Then, they set about building a city.
Some of the people coming down to Pier 54 to Ivor's Acres of Clams get on that Alaskan Way viaduct and they ride back and forth and back and forth and finally seem to give up.
That's Northwest icon Ivor Haglund in an old radio ad. Ivor's tongue-in-cheek complaint about the impact of the new viaduct on his restaurant is a clue to how much the waterfront was changing in the 1950s. But it was back in the 1850s when the area first began to morph at the hands of the Dennys and other settlers. First came piers and wharves for freighters and passenger ships, then Henry Yesler's sawmill, and eventually shipyards and a maze of railroad tracks.
Well, Chief Seattle, you know, had his village on the waterfront, and we've got just a whole lot of history that needs to be explained and examined in this waterfront.
Charles Royer was mayor of Seattle from 1978 to 1989. He's now co-chairing the Central Waterfront Committee, a civic group planning for the post-viaduct future of downtown Seattle. But he also has an eye on the waterfront's past.
So in the early part of Seattle's history, we needed the railroads and we needed the harbor. The water came all the way up to 2nd Avenue in the old days, and then it was filled up to accommodate commerce, create a working harbor, and soon to establish Seattle as a major port.
And while the land of that major port had been filled and altered and reshaped to create an industrial area, the most dramatic change to the waterfront and to downtown didn't come until after World War II. In the 1930s and 1940s, Highway 99 was the main West Coast roadway from Mexico to Canada. In Seattle back then, Highway 99 traffic moved through downtown on regular streets. The viaduct was designed in the late 1940s to bypass the crowded streets and turn Highway 99 into a real expressway through the city. Putting the elevated highway across the street from the waterfront, which back then was mostly a gritty industrial place, seemed like the perfect location.
And here's the new City Light building. All of these have been built within the past few years.
In this promotional film made by Seattle City Light in 1961, Mayor Gordon Clinton sings the praises of the viaduct without even mentioning its proximity to Elliott Bay.
U.S. Highway 99, proceeding southwest from Aurora Avenue, ducks into the well-ventilated Battery Street Tunnel and emerges on the Alaskan Way Viaduct. The viaduct skirts the Central Business District, giving speedier access to West Seattle and Seattle's southern industrial areas.
But as it turned out, the viaduct did more than just give speedier access. It also radically changed the look and feel of the city. And not everyone thought the change was good. Author John Steinbeck visited Seattle in the 1940s. He came back in 1960 and said the city had lost much of its unique character and charm. Describing Seattle in his book, Travels with Charlie, Steinbeck recalled a pre-war harbor city with trees and gardens and houses. This Seattle, Steinbeck wrote in 1962, had no relation to the one I remembered. Charles Royer says that people wanted to get rid of the viaduct as early as the 1970s. Seattle's waterfront, even with the viaduct right there, had somehow managed to become a tourist destination. Industry was moving elsewhere, and more restaurants and attractions were joining Ivor on the old piers and in the old warehouses. But with daily traffic of more than 100,000 cars, the viaduct was here to stay. Until one morning in February 2001.
We are shaking like crazy here. We are having an earthquake, I believe.
Yeah, we are.
Hang on. The lamps are shaking here. We are rocking and rolling, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Dave Ross on Cairo Radio during the Nisqually quake. Charles Royer says the damage to the viaduct from the quake gave the city a priceless opportunity, a chance to reconnect with its unique history and to support the waterfront's shift from 19th century loading dock to 21st century front porch.
So we're just trying to strike a balance on how to use our natural resources, which are pretty extraordinary. The view of the mountains, the water, the topography, our city, the attractiveness of the city to the new economy. So how do we balance all of that? That's the challenge, and that's the opportunity.
Royer's committee has released detailed plans for how the post-viaduct waterfront will be transformed. He says that the research his group has done shows that people simply want to get closer to the water than they can now. They want to see it up close, touch it, maybe feel the rocky beach beneath their feet. And that's something that even the members of the Denny Party might understand. I'm Felix Bunnell for KUOW.
There's a traffic problem in Seattle that's causing lots of trouble to me. Our customers get on that Alaskan Way viaduct, and there's no way off that they can see. Well, this is really does.
That little ditty is Ivor Haglund singing in a radio commercial for his Ivor's Restaurant.